Welcome to the Reiki Show, hosted by Bronwyn and Franz Diener of the International House of Reiki. Bronwyn and Franz teach Reiki around the globe and are the authors of the Reiki Sourcebook, the Japanese Art of Reiki, the Reiki Techniques card deck, and the soon-to-be-released A to Z of Reiki. The music you are listening to, Reiki Khan, is available at the International House of Reiki website, www.reiki.net.au. On September 11, 2001, New York and the world awoke with no idea of the events that would transpire. For many, this day of massive change and transition created an emptiness and feeling of tremendous separation. At the same time, it also provided one of the greatest opportunities for people to reach out to one another and connect in an effort to restore balance and a sense of wholeness. To this day, people are still moving toward that sense of completion, and we are here to help. No one needs to suffer. We are here for those searching for a way to release the traumatic effects of that event. We intend to help others connect with the beauty and fullness of life. We are all here for each other. This is the original statement of intent of Spark. Spark is spirited action, release and kindness, and is a grassroots New York-based organization consisting of holistic practitioners and volunteers from across the United States. Today we have Dave Gorzynski, who is the president of Spark, with us. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Well, it's an honor for us to have you here, and I think it's going to be a really great interview today because this is a special topic and it'll be very inspirational for many, many Reiki practitioners. We'd love to hear about the history of Spark, how it all began.
Well, it began at 9/11. After 9/11, people were, I think, somewhat traumatized. There was this feeling of helplessness. No one knew what they could do. There were no real survivors, or there were a few, but not many. People were volunteering to give blood. They were volunteering to help out, but there was nothing to do. We went to some counseling sessions, a friend of mine and I, and just to see if we could help out, offer support to people. He was a craniosacral practitioner, and he did Reiki as well, and I was a Reiki level 3 at the time. And after we went, we realized that this was pretty deep, and it was not going to go away in a couple days. It was not going to go away in a couple months, and we'd be lucky if it went away in a few years, if at all. But it was something very deep-seated, and we made sort of a pact that we were going to do something on the first anniversary of 9/11. We were going to use our newfound skills to help people with hands-on healing. And we kept talking about it off and on over the course of the year. And it was just talk. You know, we had these great ideas, but we had never really run an event. And then we ran into a woman named Atreya from Tucson, Arizona, who's a friend of my family. She also was a Reiki teacher, and she was on board. And she had 8 people signed up in a couple weeks with plane tickets. So talk about pressure. We started scrambling. And we didn't know anybody in New York who did this. I was the only one that was based in Manhattan. So we were running around trying to get people involved and just sort of find your way. And I found my way, and we got some tables and park permits. And the parks have been very supportive of our work, by the way. And you can't do an event in New York City public parks without some kind of a permit. And we mentioned we were doing outreach, and we combined it with therapy for people. And some of the people that were Reiki practitioners were also therapists. That was the first year. And we set up, and we worked for 4 days, from 10 in the morning until 10 at night, and even later, because people just kept coming and coming. And we really didn't know what to expect. And when we saw the outpouring, we realized that there was a real need here. The best day we had was the 10th. We were in Washington Square Park. It had a peace vigil, and we went over into September 11th. We were in the park until 12:30 in the morning, and they finally closed the park down. And we had 25 people just waiting in line, saying, "Where are you going? We're going to follow you outside, and we'll follow you into the street. Set up your tables out there. We want your session." And we realized that this was something that was very popular, and we decided to do it the next year. And that's how it started. And then the people that were organizing at Atreya didn't make it in the next year, and my friend Richard was in sort of Connecticut, was farther away, and he had a new baby. So, you know, we just started to do things a little bit separately. But they're still sort of a part of it. Richard comes in every year, and Atreya is there in spirit. And we now have about, I would say, about 200 practitioners that come out and volunteer with us. You know, we recruited that first year people from Long Island and Connecticut and New Jersey, and then we had the 8 practitioners or so from Tucson that came in. And they were a real breath of fresh air. It was just wonderful. And every year we've managed to get back out there to do the work and to reach people. It's something that I haven't experienced anywhere else, really, with Reiki. It's very immediate, and there are people that just come up with these, I don't know, like immense problems that they're dealing with, and they just trust you to do the work. And they leave usually with a smile on their face, and they're a little more relaxed, which I think helps in New York City.
Yeah, so you have about 200 practitioners.
Yes.
In how many parks do you do that throughout New York?
The first year we were doing it in 2 different parks, and then the next year we tried to do it in 3, I think, at one time. And we now just do it in 1. We like to concentrate all the practitioners, because what we had was people coming. We have a guy that comes from Maine, someone that comes from Florida, different people from New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, upstate New York. And they weren't meeting each other. They were just sort of passing in the night in their own proper park, and they weren't talking. And there are a lot of logistical difficulties implementing 3 different parks. So we just started to combine it, and now we have this group of maybe 20 or 30 practitioners that will be out there at any given time. And, you know, they rotate in and out, because some people, they can only handle it for a couple hours. I mean, it's back-to-back-to-back Reiki sessions on people. And you're standing, and it can be a little hot, and you're getting people that are just off the street. You know, this isn't, it's like very street Reiki-ish, if you want to create a new term. And, you know, we just rotate them in, and they really love it, and they get to meet each other, and they get to network. And we had one person who was a yoga instructor, and she wound up teaching yoga to one of the Reiki practitioners, and she was doing sort of guided meditation. The Reiki practitioner was teaching her Reiki over the course of the year until the next time. So we have people that connect on that level, and I think that's what we're about, is really trying to help people connect in with some kind of a network and feel supported. And that's sort of where we're moving. We dropped the counseling aspect of it because it just didn't fit. People didn't want to talk. They just wanted to just be in their own space, connect one-on-one with someone, and they just wanted to relax. Talking, it was a totally different way of working, and it needed to be separated. We can do it, but they would need their own room to do it, because it was such a different time frame. They would talk for an hour with a counselor, and so we just started moving toward the energy. In the past 3 years or so, I've been just energy work, just Reiki. We have other groups who do different modalities too. But it's primarily Reiki. I would say about 80% of the people who do the work have Reiki.
And how long are the Reiki sessions when people do the treatments in the park?
It depends on who's doing them. Usually about maybe 15 to 20 minutes. But every once in a while you get someone, let's say you have a police officer, off-duty police officer, who comes in and we'll spend a little more time on them, or a firefighter who just needs to just relax. We'll work with them a little bit longer. And they leave it up to the practitioners. We tried to implement sort of timing, where we would say, okay, you know, it's a 20-minute session, 10-minute break. But we found that the practitioners just kind of liked taking people. They just wanted to keep working. And we have, I would say, very hardcore practitioners. I mean, they can work back to back to back to back to back. Or some of them can do 20 people in a row. They just stay there, and they love it. They feel like this is what they're made to do, and they'll come out. If we tell them that we're going to do an event in the snow, I'm sure they'll put their boots on and their parka, and they'll come join us.
The people who come off the street, do they know you're going to be there? Is it something now, because you've been doing it for a number of years, that they actually know that you're going to be there, so they actually come out on that day and deliberately come for a treatment? Or is it that they're just walking by and they see this thing happening and they feel that it could be beneficial?
A majority are just walking by, but we now get the park permits a little bit earlier because there's less contention for park space around 9/11 than there used to be. We used to have to wait because the mayor would have a lot of different activities, and now it's easier. So we get the park permits more in advance, and we can advertise, and we know what parks we're going to get. This time we advertised in a local magazine and on some websites as well. Some of the people know we're going to be there, and I know there's one guy that's been there for every year. He's made it out to see us. He just knows that we're there, and he comes out, and he gets his session, and he says, it's the only thing that works. And then he walks away. So it's nice. We have a certain following. But at the same time, people come up, just walking through the park. Maybe they're from a foreign country. Maybe they're a student at NYU. Maybe they're just hanging out, playing guitar. And they'll come over and get a session, and it definitely affects them.
Maybe if you could tell us a little bit about that time of the year in New York now, because I guess what happened is on everybody's mind. Does that mean that people are going out into the street trying to connect with others? What's actually happening?
Well, the park we work in is right in the heart of New York University. It's downtown in Greenwich Village, and it's always busy. Anytime you go there, it's busy. They have street performers there. They have different festivals that are there. They usually have a concert every weekend. Around 9/11, there are more of those. People are coming out. They just don't want to be alone around that time. It's gotten less so than it used to be. Now I think people feel that they may be getting through it, but a lot of them are still stressed, but they're just kind of not talking about it. We just set up, and it's always busy with passersby. So as many tables and as many practitioners as we have, that's how many people we get. If we have, 30 practitioners, we've got 30 people laying down, and it just builds. And this past weekend, we worked on about 450 in 2 days, and we had to turn people away. We were closing at 6 p.m., and we had a list of 30 people at 4:30. So we started turning people away, just letting them know that there wasn't a chance. They had to come back the next day. But it's very popular. And another thing that's sort of related to that is that Reiki is getting greater exposure. The first year, no one knew what we were doing. Now people come up and they tell us what we're doing before we say anything. Like, oh, that's Reiki, isn't it? Oh, yeah, I've had that before. I've had experience with it, and it works, and they'll come over and get their session. It's different. It's like we're more accepted than we were before. We're more, I think, understood.
Who can volunteer?
That's always interesting. We have forms that people need to fill out. We do background checks, sexual offender and criminal background checks on people, just because we are working in a public environment. And we do have kids that come through. Their parents just let them, hey, work on my kid. So, we're like, okay. And we want to know that everyone's okay. And it's sort of where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, with energy work. We run the background checks. People have to pretty much sign in blood and put a lot of information on there that they may not feel comfortable doing. I always tell them to Reiki the form. And it's stored at September Space, which is sort of an umbrella for community groups. And we've worked with them for about 3 or 4 years now. And we look for people that are Reiki 1 or above. Reiki 2 or above can work alone. Reiki 1, we want them to work with someone else who's a Reiki level 3 or level 4. Then there are other people who maybe are just gifted. They have the ability to do energy work, and they may do their own way. There's a woman who used to do a Korean style called Shunsu, and she wasn't channeling the energy. She was sort of storing it, taking it away, and then she would go back to her center, and she would clear. And it was a very different style, but it worked very well. And then there's another group from sort of more Latin American, more of a Latin American feel called Eureka. And they are being used in Argentine prisons. and then there's the Joe Ray group, which is Ray as in Reiki, and they do sort of a fire energy. But it's nice. They complement what we're doing because they sit in the chairs and people can just sit and not be touched. And it's more of a passive experience for them. They don't need to really do anything. They don't need to lay down. The Reiki group does a five-minute session, and we bill that as the New York session versus the 20-minute session. And but we have different people. Mainly, the people that work there are Reiki practitioners, and they're the ones who, you know, I think are the most into it. We work with a lot of the Reiki teachers to have them send us their students or just to publicize what we're doing.
You sound like you've really got it together. Fantastic.
It sounds good, right?
Yeah, it does.
On event day, I'm not this calm.
And I want to know, what sort of benefits do you feel that people are getting out of it? What are people saying to you or saying to the practitioners?
Well, usually people feel relaxed. They have a lot of things happening around them, and they're able to sort of just let go of whatever's going on. They can have chaos all around. There's a dance troupe behind us playing breakdancing music. There's a rock concert in front of them, or maybe there's someone giving a speech, and they don't notice it. They just go into their own world, and it's a very personal connection. We just really try to just offer them sort of a gentle touch and just a compassionate hand when they need it. And I think they get that. They just feel that somebody's paying attention to them. And sometimes people don't feel it, which, you know, I hope everybody feels it, but every once in a while someone doesn't feel it. But they're still attended to, and they have still been recognized as someone who is worthy of, you know, the time of the practitioner and the time of the group. So, did I answer your question?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Okay.
On your website, it states as well that when you do the Reiki sessions, that it helps to trigger the person's innate healing ability. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. My favorite part of offering Reiki in the park is working on someone who's never had it before. And then they open their eyes, and they know they weren't asleep. They know that they weren't awake. They were someplace else. And they feel incredibly relaxed, and they know that it wasn't a massage. Nothing physical happened, but physically they feel better. And I think that's so important to give people that exposure, which is why we created the name Spark, to sort of flip their little light switch on inside them and let them know that they're more than their bodies and that there's this energy that is all around them that can help them. And we give them also, in our handout, we give the names of all the practitioners that are practicing at that event, and we also give them free resources where they can go to get more free treatments. And one of them is a hospital nearby that offers a stress management program, and one of them is September Space, which offers acupuncture, Reiki, Feldenkrais, and Joe Ray every Tuesday and Thursday. So we try to funnel them into other areas where they can get ongoing services. Yeah. But we just want them to know that they have this ability in them, and they know it. Once they feel it, they know it.
It's great that you take as well the time to print out some leaflets for the people to actually take away with that after support, because I think that's really important.
That was like our focus. Eventually, we'd like to have our own center and have people come to our center, and where we can really, you know, offer them exactly what we want to offer them. But right now, the groups that we work with are very attentive, and they appreciate the extra people because they're nonprofits and they're looking to get funding, and it helps them. I mean, and they have very good practitioners who actually are part of our group, who are working there during the year, and they get ongoing service. So usually people will come back in 6 months and thank whoever worked on them, and, you know, it's really nice.
So, Dave, now I'm intrigued. How did you get into Reiki?
My family was into Reiki before I was. My mother, I used to joke with her about it because I would make fun of her. And she said, I think you'll like it. And, you know, I would just like, yeah, right. You know, and I would just sort of keep going and doing whatever I was doing. And my sister took Reiki 2, and she was the first one, I think, in the family to really wake up to energy and what was going on. And she just kept pushing me to do it. And eventually I took a class. I had always felt that I could lay my hands on people and help them. I just would get tired. And then in the class they said, and you're going to be able to lay your hands on and help people and you won't get tired. I said, this is perfect. It's just what I want. And then my hands got hot and that was it. I was sold.
And did you ever imagine that you'd be running a group like Spark?
No idea. I would never have thought about that. I had no idea I would be doing this. I'm just very lucky to be working with skilled practitioners who, they're incredibly selfless, and they don't need a whole lot of management. They really love the work that they do, and they help manage me, which I like.
I think that's one of the great things about Reiki, is that it can bring you into areas of helping yourself and others that you never ever could have imagined yourself doing before you started doing Reiki. And it sort of gives you the opportunity to take that step. And that's really special.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, to me, I look at it and I look at the precepts, you know, be compassionate to yourself and others. And it's really applying the system of Reiki on yourself, so you go into that compassionate space for yourself, and then actually going out and sharing that is just wonderful. Yeah, I hope you have lots of success, and actually that Sparks will grow, and yeah, it would be fantastic that one day you have your own center where people can come on a regular basis and receive free treatments. I think that would be such a big step in our busy communities.
Thanks. Thanks. I hope that it, I feel like it will actually happen. But thank you so much for the kind words.
Well, thank you, Dave.